publishing a book is a victory. But it's not the end. After you sweep up the confetti and wash the champagne flutes, what's next? Authoring Onward is the podcast about those steps after your first publication. Going from published author to having a long-term writing career. And that has no clear endpoint and plenty of ups and downs. But telling stories for the long term is so, so worth it. Sit back, listen, and together, let's author onward. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Authoring Onward. I'm your host, author, editor, and book coach, Connie B. Dowell. And I am excited to come to you today with another September episode focused on stretching out of our comfort zone a little bit as authors. So it's been an out of my comfort zone day for me today, for sure, because today is my eldest child's first day of kindergarten, and watching him go off on the big yellow bus was kind of a stretch out of my comfort zone sort of day, but also a bit of a relief. The first one is school-aged, finally, so exciting day. But in other announcements, before we dive into the content of today's episode, I am still having a Labor Day sale on my editorial services, so if you are looking for editing and coaching and you book by September 17th, you'll get 20% off. So just go to bookechoes.com/services for all of the things that I do in that arena. I also, in another announcement, this weekend is the Right Now online conference by the Desert Sleuths chapter of the Sisters in Crime, which is a crime writers. You don't have to be a lady to join. Any crime writer can join Sisters in Crime. And anyone, whether or not they are actually part of the Sisters in Crime organization, can attend this online conference. It's happening on September 11th, and it's only $25 to join in. So it is going to be a great day of learning and fun and all of that. So I will put the link in the show notes if you want to hop on over. I will be giving a talk titled Get Out of Your Own Way about the ways that writers can kind of hold themselves back, both in their writing process and in the revision process, and some ways that we can try not to hold ourselves back quite as much. So I hope that some of you guys will join us on this weekend for this great conference. Now, today's episode is a subject that really stretches me out of my comfort zone as an author, and it probably stretches a good chunk of you guys as well. And that is getting reviews on books. And in this case, for this particular episode, I'm going to be talking about customer reviews, not editorial reviews. Customer reviews being like the reviews that you find when you scroll to the bottom of an Amazon sales page or a Barnes & Noble sales page or Kobo or wherever. Not so much things that go in the editorial review section, things that are reviewed by institutions like Kirkus or, you know, etc. That's something that's a whole different ball game. Even things like pitching book bloggers. That's a whole different ball game of reviews and something that should be covered, I think, in its own separate episode. So here we're just talking about getting more customer reviews. Asking for them, oh, it stinks, but you need them. You need to have reviews on your sales pages for social proof, to show readers that other people have liked this book, that other people have even read this book. And it's also important for getting advertising spots. Sometimes some email advertising services for books like BookBub or Fussy Librarian, they want to see a certain number of reviews, a certain number of positive reviews to even accept your spot. So they're very important to get early on in the process. But even if your book has been out for a while, you can still get more customer reviews. So let's talk a bit about why it's scary and then how to actually do it. So if you're like me, you're probably thinking, asking her for reviews. I hate it. 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 And I do. I really hate it. It is scary because it's asking for favors, which is a thing I already don't like doing. I know a lot of other people are with me on this. I already don't like asking for a favor. It's also about hoping people will say something nice about your book. And once they've reviewed, sometimes they don't say something nice about your book. So it can be a really intimidating process, but it's also one that we all kind of have to do. The number one way to get reviews, to get more reviews, is to ask for them. The fact is, even if your book is really widely read, most people won't review. Most people will not review a thing that they love, even if they really, really enjoy it, because it's just an extra step. It's a thing that they don't think about doing. And I know I am in the same boat. I really would have to make a conscious effort to review something. And I review more now that I am an author and I understand the importance of reviews for the author than I did before. Readers don't think about this. And so they're not as motivated to leave a review, even if they really loved something, as they are unless they really disliked it. Then they are much more motivated to leave a review. And so if you want your reviews to be not necessarily skewed more towards the positive, but it's pushed away from the negative because they're naturally skewed a little more negative, then you need to ask to get those people who have more positive feelings to actually review. Now, I think a good ballpark estimate for like how many people would leave a review is like about 1% of the people who actually read your book. So a lot of newer authors, you know, I see this come up a lot in Facebook groups. I've sold X amount of books and I've only got like 2 reviews. And then someone says, you just said you sold like your first 100 books and you've got 2 reviews. Well, that's a 2% review rate. And that's actually, you know, pretty expected. So yeah, don't expect very many people to just review on their own. So how do we get more people to review? All right, so give review copies. That is giving free copies, free ebook copies. I would say unless you are working, again, this is in the realm of asking for editorial reviews or pitching bloggers or bookstagrammers who might want a print copy. But generally for more customer reviews, you're giving ebook copies. And you give them out and ask folks when they review to say that they received a free review copy. They need to disclose that for FTC guidelines, but also ask your readers when they do this not to use exchange language. Language like, I received this book in exchange for a review. Because that's something that it kind of goes against FTC guidelines, that the reviews shouldn't be paid in any way. Even though this is a free gift, it's not an exchange for a review. It's just a free review copy and you hope that person's going to review. So you distribute those review copies, and I would ask first if you have a newsletter email list set up, and every author should. If not, then please go back and listen to some of the episodes about author newsletters. So if you're trying to get more reviews, first go to your email list, or if you have already a separate review team, folks like to call them an ARC team. ARC stands for Advanced Review Copy, and people form these teams out of, you know, social media followers, or most commonly their email list. That's their team that reads books before they're released so that they can get those reviews early on in the process. But you can still kind of form a review team even after the book is published. Just ask your email list, is someone interested in being on my review team? Is someone interested in a review copy? And you can make these copies as many as you want, or you can restrict how many you want to give out. So that's the first place to ask, because these folks, they're on your email list. They're already pretty interested in your books. They're a pretty warm audience. You can also ask your social media channels. Social media just doesn't get the same level of interaction as an email list, but it is another place to look. It's another place to ask. You can also use services like Booksprout, which distribute to folks who are looking to be advanced reviewers. So they are much more likely to actually go through with it and leave a review than the average person, maybe even on your email list. But as always, with any kind of author service, vet them really carefully and make sure that you are using a service that's reputable, that you're getting good information from your author buddies. You can ask in various Facebook groups for authors what people's experience have been like with those services. Now, however you deliver the copy, make it really easy for folks. Give them a reminder email. Services will often do this automatically, or you can have this set up as part of your service. But if you're just distributing on your own, give them a reminder email after a little while. Hey, would you like to leave this review? And make it super easy. So give them a direct link to leave the review. Don't make them go hunt for it on the page, or go hunt for it on Amazon or Kobo or wherever you're looking for reviews. And I will leave a link in the show notes to a tutorial that I found on how to get a direct Amazon link for people to review. So that's some great ways to get reviews. Now, those are given out freely. Those are free copies, so they won't get that magic little verified review that shows up on your Amazon sales page for reviews from people who have bought the book from Amazon. And those do count for a little bit more, but they won't get that if they're on your ARC team or you've distributed some other way. So how do you get more verified reviews? Well, first, again, ask your list. Even if you are not doing a campaign for folks who want to get a free copy, you can just ask your list, did you enjoy this book? I'm really looking to get more reviews on it. Please leave a review if you have read and enjoyed this book. And probably some folks on your email list have read and enjoyed this book, have purchased it through whichever retailer it is that you want to get reviews from, and therefore their reviews would be verified. Now, sometimes readers do have trouble when leaving reviews. Amazon is really finicky about reviews and things can disappear. Just because you also have to have, to leave a review, you have to have purchased a certain amount of products from Amazon within the past year, I believe. So don't be surprised if readers end up emailing you saying, I left a review, but I don't see it yet. Or I left a review and it's been a week and I still don't see it. Or I tried to leave a review and Amazon said I couldn't. That just does happen sometimes, and sometimes there's really no helping it. So there's not really much you can do about that, but you can just reassure the reader that it's normal, that it does happen sometimes. So another way to get more verified reviews is to put a link in the back of your book. Again, this is an option that's really only open to self-publishers. You can put a link in the back of your ebook, that direct link to review, and ask them, did you enjoy this book? Please leave a review. Simple as that. And then when people get to the end of your book and they've just had a great time, they will leave that review. All right, so one big don't for reviews. Don't incentivize. As I mentioned before, goes against guidelines to exchange anything for a review. Reviews can't be paid for in any way. And some people like to do contests to incentivize this review by having like a giveaway or a contest for their readers who leave a review. And that's really, most of the time, I think it violates the guidelines. Sometimes people try to kind of sneak under the radar and, you know, they'll have a contest where to enter the contest, you have to click the review link, but you don't have to have left the review. And that's a loophole that I just feel really uncomfortable about. So I don't do contests in any way. Not at all. So always just be a little careful. This is a little bit of an iffy ground. Now, once you get some reviews, what do you do next? Because it's up there and you might read it and you might like or not like what you read. So let's talk a little bit about psyching yourself up for the review. And honestly, you could need to psych yourself up a little bit for the ask. But as I mentioned before, it can be really simple. So, you know, if you need to talk yourself through this with a writer's group, whether it's asking for reviews or reading some of the reviews you've already read, do that. Reach out to other writers for this emotional support here. We've all been through this. It's just a tough thing that we all kind of have to do. Now, if you're not really in a good headspace to read your reviews, that's okay. You can ask a friend to look them over for you and maybe kind of cherry pick ones that might be helpful for you to actually read. You do want to keep track of your star count to know, you know, how many stars on average you're getting for your reviews. And you can do that without actually looking at much of the text of reviews if you need to. But I do think that there are some things to be learned from reviews. So if you want to, you can have a friend look them over and then try to pick the ones that are maybe more useful. Things that you can learn from to do an even better job on your next book. Or to understand what the market is looking for. To understand if maybe you're writing a thing that suits a bit different kind of market and you need to change your marketing. So before you read your reviews, know that there is a difference between things that didn't work for that reader and legitimate critique. And this is a topic that you can kind of go to your critique group. If you don't have a writer's group or critique group, please reach out and try to find some author buddies who can help you do this. Reach out in Facebook groups, on Twitter, on Instagram, on wherever, and look for folks who can help you walk through this. So yeah, there's a lot of reviews are things that just didn't work for that particular reader, but might work equally well for some readers. You might have the same exact thing mentioned in a positive and a negative review. That can happen. But there's also some mean-spiritedness sometimes in reviews, or even laziness. I can think of on the first day of publication, one-star review that came through for one of my books, that they had trouble downloading it. And instead of, you know, troubleshooting with Amazon, they just left me a one-star review. So you will get some of that, and you can sometimes dispute it, but most of the time Amazon just leaves them up. Stinks, but there you go. There's also can be bigotry in reviews. And this is why, you know, if you are a person from a marginalized group and you might want someone else to help you vet through those reviews. And then after a while, you're not going to get any new information from reviews. And you should still keep going if you're not hitting the number of reviews you want, but you're not going to get anything new. You've already seen the critiques. You've already seen the positives. You've already seen how people are reacting to it. So there's no point in reading further. Just keep track of how many reviews you're having. So all of that, process it with your writer's group if you need to, with a trusted friend, with a spouse, with a family member. And remember that it's only one person's opinion. And that one person's opinion, again, it might be the same exact thing that one person critiqued that another person loved. And you're learning something every time you write. So all writing is progress. Reviews. All right. Getting reviews, it stinks. But showing readers that lots of people have read your book and many, many of them have loved it. That's a great thing. So that is all for this week. I will be back next week with more ways we can stretch ourselves as authors out of our comfort zone. And if you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating or review. See what I did there? Wherever it is you may be listening to this podcast. Until next time, happy writing!